Afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for joining me this afternoon. It's great to see everybody, and it's great to see so many people who are invested in just a really important part of all of our lives, and that's affordable housing. So thank you to everybody. I don't think I have to tell any of you that housing and homelessness is really a crisis in virtually every part of our country. And I know all of you are on the front lines of helping connect people, get them into safe housing. And I want you to know how much I appreciate all your work and everything you do every day to help families out. So first of all, thank you all for the work you do. I don't think it's a surprise if I say it's been darn tough in the other Washington for housing this year. I think President Trump made it really challenging in an already challenging world, or more challenging, firing federal workers and freezing federal programs and all the chaos and his proposed budget that cut out half of housing. Well, to me, that was really unacceptable, because I know if you have a home, then you have safety, you have security, you have an opportunity, and that is really important that as a country we provided that basic value of housing. So I went to work on the Appropriations Committee and made it a priority of mine that we would fund housing and literally ripped up President Trump's budget that was just so horrible. Yes. And I wanted to come here and celebrate because we finally got it passed, and I wanted you to know that we secured not the half the funding he wanted, but an historic $7.2 billion increase.
Wow.
For HUD.
Yes.
Which is going to make a difference for all of you. And I, as vice chair of appropriations, one of the things I work really hard on is congressionally directed spending. Mm-hmm. We used to call them earmarks, but we'll call them congressionally, whatever. And I wanted you to know that I was able to do really well on housing this year because I made it such a focus. I got funds to support 38 affordable housing units for families in foster system in Renton, 150 units of affordable housing through the Low Income Housing Institute, 881 units through Bellwether Housing, 162 affordable housing units through the Seattle Indian Services Commission, another 500 through the City of Seattle's Fort Lawton Redevelopment Project, and safety upgrades to make sure we could retain 38 units for housing for Community Roots Housing. That is over 1,000 units here in King County, which will make a difference, as every one of you know. So I want you to know, do not ever give up, fight back, and when you do, you can make a difference. Is it everything we want? Absolutely not. Is there a lot of work ahead? Of course. But I wanted to come here and share that good news with all of you and to hear from all of you what the challenges and opportunities are. So I really appreciate every one of you who are here today to share, and thank you very much, and especially to Sharon for all the work you're doing and for having us here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Murray. Well, we were really struck and surprised and thankful for the contribution you made. She just puts money in the HUD budget,
right?
it's like so amazing, right? It's so great. I think if you were not there, I think the HUD budget would be like less than half of what it is. I mean,
that's what he wanted.
You really made a difference. I mean, all the programs, HUD Home, CDBG, Continuum of Care, National Housing Trust Fund, all these programs we all use and benefit from. I wanted to say a little bit about our 45th TOD, Transit-Oriented Development. It is on Sound Transit property, and we are buying it way below market because Sound Transit is conveying it because of the state bill that Frank Chop put in place.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember Frank Chop.
Mm-hmm.
And so the housing we're going to build will include, this is like, I think, the new priority of the community, more family-oriented housing. It's really hard to find 2- and 3-bedroom size units. I think in the past, the policy was to put in as many studios and 1-bedrooms. And those are no longer, I think, like the highest priority for the community. And also to put in 30% and 40% AMI, more affordable. I think the old policy was to, like, do as many units that are at the high end of the low income, like the 50 and 60%. But many people in our community who are, let's say, entering the job market or transitioning out of homelessness, they really need rental housing that's at a much lower rent. Mm-hmm. And so I think the most interesting information is that a two-bedroom market rate unit is at $2,700 a month rent, right? So you could not, I mean, even if you made like double minimum wage, that would be a stretch, right? So we really need to look at the tax credit program, the HUD programs, and the city policies and direct it more towards lower-income households. And so we're finding out that, especially after the pandemic, people who might have been, like when they moved in, they might have been at a higher income. Over time, their income has actually dropped because the area median income of everybody else has gone higher, right? Because of all the other well-paid jobs in the market. So the other thing I want to say about the U District property is that we also want to put a urban rest stop on the first floor, which would be a hygiene center for low-income homeless people. If you can believe it, people who are currently living in shelters, they may not even have adequate showers or restrooms or laundry in the shelter that they're living in. So we found out that an urban rest stop in the U District would benefit not just students, not homeless, there are homeless students, but also families and veterans and seniors in the U District. So so the first floor, we're hoping that there will be city support for a urban rest stop. We used to have one, but it got removed when the church, we were leasing the space from the church, they demolished it for market rate housing. Mm. So we would like to put back a urban rest stop.
Nice.
So I'd like to introduce Irish Friday, and she is the interim executive director of the Seattle Indian Services Commission.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Senator Murney. We are so honored with the support that you provided us for this Native Village and Gateway project that we are working on now. I've had the honor to take over as interim executive director and carry on the work that Colleen Echohawk started. And this project will provide opportunities for affordable housing for the American Indian Alaska Native community and help us move forward the vision and the mission of the organization. It will include a Hall of Ancestors, which really carries on the work of Bernie White Bear, Early Learning Center, child care, and an Economic Opportunity Center, so that we're providing support for the residents that reside in the facility. And this support that you've provided us will help us with the pre-development work that we're doing and help us to move the project along to completion. So we're very excited, we're very honored by this support, and we're looking forward to inviting you to the groundbreaking when we were able to open the doors to over 150 new affordable housing units.
Great.
So thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I'll turn it over to Colleen Echohawk.
Thank you, Iris. I think it's kind of fun that there's like two other Native people around this table. It doesn't often happen, but some of my favorite people are in the room today. And Senator Murray, we're just really honored to be here. I am in my new role of about 4 months now at Community Roots Housing. I am so appreciative of the work that has gone on at Community Roots. We're now almost 50 years old this year. And the building that we're talking about today that you were able to help support is called the Helen V. And the reason I bring up the 50 years, it's one of our oldest buildings in the portfolio. We happen to have a resident who has lived there since 1976 who talks glowingly about how wonderful it is to live in one of these in one of our buildings. And it's one of our buildings that is one of the oldest apartment buildings ever built in Seattle.
Really?
It's so full of character and just reeks of beautiful charm. It's just, you've got to come and visit it because it's just one of those places that you think, I want to live here. I want to be here. The problem with some of these buildings is they get old and they fall out of compliance. And so that's exactly what has happened here. We have these beautiful balconies on the outside of the building and also stairways on the inside that aren't safe anymore or no longer compliant. The dollars that are going to come to us are going to go straight into making those balconies and the stairways compliant, making them safe so that we can continue to operate this building for another 50 years. So thank you so much on behalf of Community Roots Housing, and most importantly for our residents like John, who have lived there, who have thrived there, who continue to call Seattle home because of affordable housing. So thank you so much, and we look forward to much more to come.
Great.
Yeah. pass it over to my friend Susan.
Thank you, Colleen. And Senator Murray, thank you so much. I'm going to start telling you a little bit about Thunderbird Nest, which is a relationship, a development coming out of our relationship with Chief Seattle Club. And Derek here is going to tell you a little bit more about it. 209 units, as you said, over two-thirds of those, 2, 3, and 4-bedroom units. There's a lot of really exciting things about this project, but to invoke Frank Chop again, this is a site on land that is owned by the North Seattle College, and he was a real champion for all kinds of public land being dedicated to affordable housing. But there's a movement that's, you know, slow but coming in the community college sector across Washington State in using surplus land for affordable housing. So really exciting to be at the forefront of that. It's also just an incredible opportunity for this partnership to really focus on Native families, and I'll let Derek take it from here.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Senator Marina. It's always an honor to be able to be in the same room, same space with you. Thank you for all the support you've given us and over the years, and in particular this project. This being able to focus on Native families, as you know, Natives have the highest rates of homelessness, housing insecurity, and being disenfranchised out of the system. And the main reason that is because our community is so fragmented. We're only less than 2% of the general population, so we're kind of fragmented, sprinkled around the city. Hard to build community, hard to be able to get people to come together and stay together, right? One of the things that we know in our community that we really need is a community center, right, to hold things together. But that being said, with this project, though, is about families. We're really excited at Chief Seattle Club, because as you know, we've always focused on chronic single adult homelessness. This is a chance to actually start addressing some of the family homelessness and family housing insecurity in our community. And part of that disenfranchisement that we're talking about away from housing services is because there's no culturally appropriate housing being offered. What we're going to be able to do with this project is actually provide that culturally appropriate service. Have case managers understand, have shared trauma, shared experiences, shared knowledge of what it feels like to actually live in a community that's been neglected, disenfranchised out of the system. Those different things that we, you know. So we have to be able to provide that support. Provide cultural activities, cultural practices. We'll be able to connect people to traditional values and traditional systems that have actually had the door shut to them for too long. So it's going to give an opportunity for our families and our community in general to just thrive and actually become part, you know, and become functioning, successful people in the community. Yeah.
It's exciting.
I just want to raise a hand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So glad to see you, Senator Murray. Thank you so much for just the support that you've given to friends of you. You know, we do a lot of work with youth and young adults, 0 to 24, and the project that we have in Griffin Campus in Brenton is really primarily taking care of foster care kids. So we live in a time where, you know, 20% of nationally, 20% of all foster care kids a year after aging out are homeless. We live in Washington, the state of Washington, at a time where, again, 20% of foster care youth a year after aging out are incarcerated. And 40% of all youth and young adults nationally who are incarcerated experience foster care. So our project is really trying to address, how do we address foster care kids who are aging out and provide them at least with homes or a place where they can stay. So the project's really gonna just take care of 28 units on the AMI from 30 to 60, but also providing them with the supports around them. So that's one of the things Friends of Youth has done for 75 years, and really, really grateful that we were able to get your support related to this. We're looking forward to hopefully getting you out there. You've been a longtime supporter, but I think especially now, where the identity, the very identity for youth and young adults is being questioned, their sexual orientation is being questioned, where they came from is being questioned. And really, this is the time, you know, we used to like to say, you gotta fight the good fight. Okay. And this is a good fight, and the support that you're giving to Friends of Youth is really going to not just provide housing, it's really going to help fight the good fight for these people so that they're not getting into incarceration, they're not going into homelessness, and really stop the conversation about, you know, the youth are of tomorrow. They are today, and really happy that you supported this project. So thank you very much for all the years of support. Looking forward to having you there.
Great.
Thank you, Paul. Senator, everyone, I'm Councilmember Dan Strauss. I'm elected by the people of Magnolia, Fremont, Finney, Green Lake, Greenwood, Crown Hill, Ballard, many other micro neighborhoods, and it's an honor to get to represent the entire city of Seattle. We have district-based systems, and yet we still represent our whole city. Magnolia and Fort Lawton Project are within the district in which I represent. You may or may not know that I can see the white buildings of Fort Lawton from the living room of my parents' house in the home that I grew up in. And the Ballard of today is not the Ballard I grew up with. And the family that I grew up in would not be able to afford the Ballard of today. The very playing fields that I grew up playing soccer on would be out of reach for the family that I grew up in. And so when we talk about units, and my back of the envelope math has it well north of 1,000 units, but when we talk about units, those are homes. Mm-hmm. Right? These are homes for people to lay their head so that they can close the door to take care of whatever they need to take care of for themselves and their community. And so with your help this year, we are up to 500 units, homes, at the Fort Lawton Project. 80 to 85 to 100 of those homes, those apartments, are through Chief Seattle Club, getting to leverage the legacy of Bernie White Bear over at United Indians of All Tribes, and we're working to tighten that partnership of the land stewardship between the two projects. We're turning parking lots into parks and homes. The parking lots out there, we have 22 acres of new parkland out of the 34 acres of Fort Lawton. This is up to 200 apartments of affordable rental housing with Catholic Community Housing Services. And then the big one here is home ownership. We have so many people renting in our community. Colleen, you mentioned the person who's rented in your building for 50 years. And how do we do a better job of providing home ownership equity? It's through projects like this at Fort Lawton that, Senator, you are getting across the finish line. You are making happen for our Washingtonians. We're so incredibly grateful because this Fort Lawton project for the Seattle, King, and Kittitas counties chapter of Habitat for Humanity. This is their largest home ownership project. And so I'm just here to say thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful. And you may or may not know that I happened to be in Washington, D.C. last week, and on my random chance of getting to go up to the gallery of the Senate, I walked through those doors to see our Senator Patty Murray speaking to the American people on behalf of Washingtonians and all of the different projects that you secured for us. And when I was back there, the tension was palpable, and it was so heartening to be able to walk through those doors and see the person fighting for us here in this Washington. And we're just here talking about housing. When I left that gallery, the thought that came to my mind was, how many people's lives has Senator Patty Murray changed? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, thank you. Thank you to all of you. I'm so excited to be a part of each one of these. I know they're incredibly important. And as I said at the beginning, if you don't have a house, you don't have a place to live. You really can't be what we want everyone in America to be, and that's somebody that has a future. So I'm excited to be a part of this. Thank you all. I can't wait to see each one of them in person, and happy to take any questions from you all in the back if you want.